people will be like, oh, if you wanted to change, then not me getting ready to cry. People will just be like, oh, if you wanted to change, then you would. But it's not that easy, is it? Like, you just, oh, not already. Yeah. I'm a Cancer. Everything gets to me.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Stacey.
And this is the Body Smart Podcast.
And today we have our amazing guest. We've got Elise Rose Stanio on with us, who you might have seen on our Instagram page. We share her transformation fairly regularly because it is pretty mind-blowing what you've achieved.
Thank you.
So you went from like feeling lost and a bit like didn't really know what happened with your body to losing 80 pounds, but you also got super strong, super healthy, and now you're an inspiration to so many other women. And I love the fact that you're just really down to earth and faffing around. Like, you really get to the point and you cut the BS and you tell it like it is. So we're really excited to have you on today and talk about your journey, because I think it's going to be very relatable to our listeners. So let's get the lowdown on your transformation. How much did you actually lose and how long did it take?
I believe the total was 87 pounds, but that was when I stopped kind of tracking on the scales. So it could have been more, but I just decided to stop with the scales for my own personal self. And I got to my initial goal that I set after around 10 months, but that was just the initial realistic goal. And then...
Sorry, was that 87 pounds?
Yeah, I was about to say.
The initial goal after 10 months. So that was, I think that was like 2 stone.
So that's about 28 pounds.
After 10 months. And then... from then on, I knew I had more to lose.
Sorry, that's actually a good... that's like 2.8 pounds a month, which...
I've not worked it out like that.
So 2 stone. If that was 2 stone in 10 months, 28 pounds a month. But I think that's actually like a really good thing, because most people are looking at, oh, I should be losing 2-3 pounds a week or more, versus like 2.8 pounds a month is a much more gradual, sustainable way about going about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And in the first couple of months as well, I noticed that I'd be losing a lot more, and then it would kind of progressively get less and less as I'd get closer to my goal. So I think at them stages as well, you just kind of have to not compare yourself to having lost a certain amount, say 7 pounds in the first week compared to
definitely
1 pound later on. So that was just the initial goal that I set, just so that it was realistic to me at the time. And then I knew that I wanted to lose more, but I didn't want to have a goal too kind of out of reach initially. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really good mindset tactic, to give yourself something you know you can achieve, so that when you get there, you set another goal, it feels like, yeah, I can set goals and do them. And you can just keep moving that goalpost a little bit further.
Yeah.
So definitely. Was there a point that you got like near that 28 pounds when you thought, I'm actually doing this, like maybe I need to be a bit more ambitious?
Yeah, so I think weight as well looks different on everyone. So I think someone can want to lose 2 stone and it looked completely different to someone else that wants to lose 2 stone on their bodies. So yeah, as I was kind of going along and my jeans were getting looser, I'd have to keep buying jeans in lower sizes, and I'd be like, well, this is quite annoying now because I'm constantly having to buy jeans. But yeah, in my head I was like, well, actually this is working. And for me, that was the first time that it was working. And I was trying for so long as well to kind of constantly trying to lose the weight and then having setbacks. So when it was actually happening and continuing to happen, I was like, oh my gosh.
So what did you do differently with that first time when, or the first few times when you tried, compared to the time that it worked?
Definitely seeing it as more of a lifestyle over like a quick fix, and wanting to have them quick results instantly and have that, like say 7 pounds every week weight loss, because that just wasn't manageable for me. And I needed something, especially from having a lifestyle of fast food constantly, of binge eating and just constantly eating takeaways and not fueling my body in the best way. From going from one extreme to another, that was never going to work for me. Like, may work for some people, but for me, no, was never ever going to work. So I think the difference, the time it actually worked, was just listening to my body and understanding that it's okay to have like treats, it's okay to have fast food and have junk food and have food from takeouts and stuff like that, but I don't have to cut everything out the way that I thought I did in the initial times when I failed and it didn't work.
Yeah. So. It sounds quite cliche as well, doesn't it, to say like, oh, it needs to become a lifestyle, but like it actually does if you want to sustain and maintain it for the rest of your life. Just you were saying, and like, when did you, obviously you had your weight loss journey and you lost over 80 pounds, but like, how did you maybe initially put that weight on? Does it go back as early as childhood? Was it a certain season of your life?
Yes. Yeah, so I've always been very sporty and athletic physique. Like my inspiration growing up was Paula Radcliffe and Kelly Holmes. Like I'd read their books religiously and I'd be of the same kind of physique. I'd done long distance running as a kid, as you did in school. I studied sport growing up all the way through school, went to college and done a sport diploma. So I think it was as I was getting to uni and kind of maybe the nerves, I don't really exactly know what it was, but I think it was just having more of that freedom and letting go a bit and not exercising as I did in the school way. It was a bit of a shock to my body because in school you're doing PE and doing sports every day, and then I'd do sports after school.
I think a lot of our clients and our listeners relate to that, where you're very athletic maybe as you're younger, then you get a different job or you have kids or something shifts and you just stop doing all that activity and it catches you out, doesn't it? Because you don't really feel like much has changed, but so much has changed when it comes to energy balance. How did you deal with that conflict of your identity, if that's always been something that's a huge part of your life, to then get to the point like you described earlier where you were studying to be maybe a PE teacher, but you felt like your body didn't fit what was expected?
It took a massive toll on kind of my confidence in a sense, because during the first year of uni as well, especially, that was when I was at like my biggest stage, I probably should have been going out with friends and all of this. And I noticed that I was staying in more. I didn't really want to go out. I was cancelling plans and stuff like that just because I didn't feel like myself. And I'd look at myself in the mirror, and this is when I was at my lowest as well. I'd get to the point where I'd just be like looking in the mirror and crying. And it's so sad as well thinking now, because people will be like, oh, if you wanted to change, then not me getting ready to cry. People would just be like, oh, if you wanted to change, then you would. But it's not that easy, is it? Like, you just, oh, not already. Yeah. I'm a Cancer. Everything gets to me. But yeah, it is just a lot harder than people think. And having the mentality where, oh, if you wanted to lose the weight, then you would. But I wanted to, what I really wanted to. A lot of other people do want to, but it's not as easy as that. And yeah, it is true what they say, but yeah, there's a lot more that goes
so
what, into
so
it.
So, like, you know, we've typically found with, like, a lot of our clients that when they've actually got to that point of, like, enough's enough, there's a now's the time to change. They have hit, like, a breaking point. You know, there's been maybe months or years or even decades in some cases of wanting to change, but still they haven't got to that point. Did you hit, like, a point where it was, you know, enough is enough?
Yes. Yeah, so there were a few different points kind of in the same time frame. So there was one when there was a family wedding and I had to look for some clothes to wear, like a dress or something. And I was trying everything on. And in these clothes, I was thinking nothing even fits, like, let alone do I feel nice in them. And whether that's just something about the clothes or maybe I was just in denial that nothing was fitting or I didn't have clothes that were fitting. It just put me in a mood that I didn't want to go to the wedding, even though it was a family member's. I was just in a negative space. And then the other time as well, I was walking through this like alleyway. It's not funny, but it. I was walking through this alleyway to get to like my car from uni. It was only a short path. But in my head, it was nighttime, and in my head I was thinking, if someone tries to take me now, not that they would probably, but if someone tries to take me now, I wouldn't be able to even run a minute from them, let alone like defend myself or anything like that. So it was kind of a click for me to think, my fitness is gone. I've got no fitness here, nothing. So yeah, it was kind of a kickstart, and just I was tired of crying over how I was feeling, how I was looking. I was tired of having no energy. I was just tired. So
I think that's really powerful that it wasn't like a looks-based thing. And I think that's what a lot of people need. It needs to go deeper than like, I just want to wear a nice dress.
Yeah.
Like that fear of I can't even look after myself is so much more powerful. So would you stop doing like any exercise then at that point?
Yeah, at that point I had, because I just was getting further and further back. I just stopped. I was just thinking, I don't even want to put myself through that.
I think that's really common in that situation of people who've been an athlete in college, or like you said, you're really sporty growing up. How did you then say, right, I'm going to cut the BS with this. I just need to go and do it. And how did you start?
So I didn't actually start off in the gym because I was too nervous to go to the gym of what other people would think. What if I'm doing the exercises wrong? What if I don't know what I'm doing and I look silly? What if, like, I injure myself? Just so many different factors went into it and stopped me from wanting to go to the gym, even though now I know I had nothing to fear, but I just didn't want to go to the gym, full stop. So that's definitely what put me off exercising in that space. So I started off at home. I had these two little dumbbells and they weren't even that heavy, but just something to get me started. And I'd be doing home workouts and just going along and just training at home to begin with. And that was for the first couple of months until I started to lose the weight and work a bit more on self-love and build up the confidence that I needed to start going to the gym.
And were you doing something different with your nutrition at the same time, or were you just doing exercise?
Yes, so I was making little changes, little tweaks. So I'd be adding more vegetables to, like, the foods I was eating. I wouldn't have just so much takeouts every single time. I'd cook a bit more and I'd have more water, because I'd have like 15 cans of pop a night, and I know.
Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah. So
I would just be so full.
Well, I wasn't. I'd have a lot of fizzy drinks a night, and that's not even what I cut out completely to begin with. I reduced it down to like 10 and then 8 and then slowly reduced it down. So it was just making little changes initially that were personal to me, and then...
I think that's important, though, because sometimes people feel like there's such a sharp contrast of like where they're at to like where they need to get to. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's actually just going, if you have 15, go down to 12 and then 10, and, you know, swap that out to have a little bit more water, or just have a couple more vegetables. You know, it doesn't always have to be subtracting away from your diet. It can be like, maybe a few less cans of whatever, pop or soda, but more water, and, you know, maybe not less food, but more vegetables. And it can be like a good step to actually add more of the healthy stuff back into your life.
Yeah, definitely. And same with like chocolate. I'd be having loads of chocolate, like the big bars of chocolate. And then I'd reduce that down to less and less each time. And it was just something that I needed to have implemented, because whenever I'd try on my fat loss journey before and failed, it was because I'd try and cut everything out completely. Mm-hmm. And that was the chocolate, the fizzy drinks, everything. And I just kind of have the salad mindset where all I needed to have was salad to get to my goal. So that's what then led me to binge eating and stuff. So I thought, this time around, I'm going to make little changes. And yeah, that was what worked for me.
Yeah. So. What brought that on then? So, because it's quite a sharp, like, I would say, like, most people, when they think about dieting, have that maybe like salad mindset, as you said, which is like, I'm going on a diet, and me going on a diet means I'm cutting out everything I enjoy, and I'm just going to be super strict and have only salad or only this. I'm going to go on this really, you know, regimented diet, and maybe they can stick at it for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then willpower kind of runs out, and then you just kind of go, you cave once to something that you enjoy, and then you just eat all the food over the weekend, you gain 10 pounds, and it's like, what's the point? And you kind of just revert back. That's typically like what we see and like what a lot of people do as well. Like, but to make that shift to just go, I'm just gonna have a little bit less and a little bit more of this, like, what brought that on, and what's like sort of inspired that shift and that change?
In my head, I knew that if you make it more of a lifestyle change, then it would work, but I didn't want to believe that. I thought, oh no, I can just cut everything out. And I think a lot to do with it is the cutting and bulking phases as well, because you see a lot of people cutting. Me now as well, I cut on certain phases, but I think I thought that that would work for me at that stage where I was at, but it wouldn't. So I think, yeah, it's definitely some information out there where I thought I only needed salad, I only needed one extreme to the other to get to my goal. But
do you think it was also the temptation, if you do that and you do stick with it, I mean, it does work? and it works really quickly.
Yeah.
So do you think that was part of it?
Oh, absolutely. I was the type of person that would have something coming up in 4 weeks, say a family holiday or something like that, and I'd be binging all the way through. And in my head, I thought, I only need 6 weeks to get to my goal. I only need 6 weeks to lose 5 stone. And then it would get less. Oh, I only need 4 weeks to lose 5 stone because I couldn't do it at 6 weeks, even though I was trying to cut it all out. It still didn't work then. And then, oh, well, maybe if 1 week before I can do it. But yeah, I think there is that idea where if you have an occasion or a plan coming up, then you don't give yourself a long enough time frame to achieve the results you want.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you just think if you cut everything out completely, then you can do it and it's manageable. Mm. But even if that is the case, I think it's a very unhealthy way of doing it because...
Yeah. It's a lot of people though, isn't it? They've got that extrinsic motivation. So like they need the holiday or the vacation or Christmas or, you know, a wedding to be like, oh, this is going to be... That'll be the reason I get in shape. Mm-hmm. And like often when you're having that like sort of like finite extrinsic motivation to do something, like it may work, it may be a driving force for some people to get in shape for that, but then it's like, well, what then? And it's like if that was the only thing motivating you, you are quite literally going to have that event, have that day or that week, and then just straight revert back to where you were before because that was the only driving force behind you wanting to achieve your goals, which kind of comes back to that cliche of like making it more of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, will mean like, hey, you actually will just get in the best shape of your life and you'll just want to sustain it because you feel your best.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
So when you set your first goal, because I know you said you just set like a realistic goal of that 2 stone, did you have like a timeline on that or would that have made you have the same kind of mindset, do you think?
In my head, I did have kind of a timeline, but I just was taking it as it came, to be honest, because I knew before I failed so many times, so... I didn't want to put too much pressure on myself and was just kind of making these changes and seeing where it took me. So
yeah. And then once you achieved that original goal, we talked already and you said, it made me think, hey, I could do more. Mm-hmm. What was the next thing that you set for yourself?
So that was then like just constantly losing extra stones. I set myself a goal that I wanted to be like about size 12. That was my kind of complete goal. Anything less than I'd have been happy, but that was just the realistic one from the size that I was at to be in.
So what size were you originally then?
Size 18 to 20.
Okay, so you lost 4? My maths is terrible.
Yeah, now it's like
6 to 8. Yeah.
Now it's like an 8 on top and then 10 to 12 on the bottom. But so to go from that to that, that was just like a realistic.
Yeah.
One at the time.
I love that you put it on a dress size as well, because like you said, different weights look different on different bodies. Mm. And I think it's as you get strong as well, your weight doesn't necessarily match with what you might expect that weight to be.
Yeah.
But if you fit into clothes that you feel good in, that's more important.
Yeah, I think scales are a good way of measuring progress, but I wouldn't depend on them completely because...
Yeah, well, we always say have like other things that you're measuring your progress with as well. So what were yours?
So mine was the measurements, like I'd take like my hip measurements and progress pictures and the clothing size as well.
Yeah. But
then again, I wouldn't kind of completely depend on the clothing size because in one shop I could be
two
sizes
true,
I know.
Compared and I'd be like, oh no.
So this actually happened to me the other day. These are a size 6. I'm not a size 6. But
oh, they're nicer.
Thanks. But then in another shop, I'll have to buy like a size 10.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And I think that is a lot of the issues that we're facing with to do with like confidence as well in like girls and stuff like that and men as well. Mm. But I think it does knock your confidence when you're trying on clothes and they might not fit.
So once you started to lose the weight and you didn't have that end goal in mind, did you have like a timeline?
I did have little like... time frames that I wanted. So I'd done like 4 week check-ins and then an 8 week check-in and then I was in that routine now. So in my head I was kind of like, well, you might as well just keep
just
going.
Doing it.
Yeah. So.
And was it because it didn't feel like a real massive effort?
Yeah. So it was just these small changes that were kind of like, well, you know, I'm already here, so I might as well
Yeah. So. Love it. And do you find like some of the habit changes that you made also were starting to like make you feel better? So you didn't want to stop or?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like the drinking water thing as well. Like I noticed a big change in my skin, which was something that I could have stopped a long time before that, but I just didn't want to again, because I've just enjoyed fizzy pop so much. And that's not saying that now I don't drink fizzy pop, because I do still have fizzy pop, but
what's your go-to?
Pepsi Max.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Pepsi Max. Not a Diet Coke girl.
No. Flavoured Pepsi Max or?
I prefer normal.
Normal. Okay. Yeah.
What's yours?
Oh, ginger beer.
Is it?
Yeah. Fiery ginger beer.
Fiery ginger beer. Yeah. Oh, I'm like a Coke Zero.
Oh. Yeah. No. Bit too watery for me.
Bit too watery.
I mean, I will have it. I will have it if they don't offer Pepsi Max, but yeah, Pepsi Max is.
I feel like we need to do a taste test because I don't think I've had Pepsi Max for years.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. I do feel like you go one way or the other, don't you? Yeah, either like Coke or Pepsi.
You mentioned about your skin, and I was going to ask you about that because I saw on your Instagram that you like older pictures, your skin, you had a lot of breakouts. Mm-hmm. Now your skin's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So do you feel like it was mostly the water or the other thing?
Originally, I thought that if I went plant-based, then that would clear everything, but I think that was just a hype that I was following and like a trend. But I did give that a go and notice a change, but I don't necessarily think it's because I was intolerant to dairy. So I think it was just gut health as well, because my gut health was so poor before. So alongside the water, eating more balanced food did make changes to that.
Was there anything that you'd done specifically to help with like your gut health?
Literally just more like balanced meals, like protein with every meal, carbs and stuff, which was what I never got before. I'd literally just have fast food. So I think just implementing the balance as a whole.
Mm. Yeah.
And what does balance mean to you? Like, what does your day kind of look like?
So I'll have my breakfast. I'll typically have like Weetabix or porridge, and then I'll have fruit on top. And then for lunch, it depends really what I'm fancying for lunch. So it could be, so I did originally go pescatarian as well, which I might go back there because I just eat more fish as a whole anyway.
Yeah.
And then for lunch, it'll be like salmon pasta or salmon rice bowl or something. And then for dinner, like jack of potato with beans and cheese.
Yeah.
I love it though. It's like just really normal.
Yeah, so it is literally normal foods, because as well, I am the laziest cook. I can't be in the kitchen for longer than an hour because I just, all these recipes where it's too much food and too much, it's just too time consuming. So for me, I just want quick and easy and stuff that if I am on the go, then it's easy to make or easy to meal prep or something like that.
You've said like lots of these things felt easy because like that you could feel the benefits. Mm-hmm. But what were the hard parts about your journey?
Oh, yeah. So saying that, that doesn't mean that it was easy as a whole, because it was one of the hardest things that I've probably ever done to like go through my fat loss journey, because constantly you have that self-doubt. You have that doubt from times before when I failed constantly. Again, I was thinking, what if I fail again? Will it be worth it? I don't want to go through that feeling again of failing because I've come so far. It was just a challenge. The times when I didn't want to train and I kind of got myself up to do a workout. Times when I did just want to binge or have that mindset where I did just want to eat whatever and just binge out on chocolate and sweets. Just having that discipline. And I think there is a very thin line where you can still eat the foods that you enjoy in moderation. So I could still have like chocolates and sweets within certain quantities, but not binging and just not having kind of complete extremes. Whereas having little moderations throughout the time just kept me kind of consistent with it. And again, made it that lifestyle that it was.
Yeah.
So how did you actually do that though? Because I know what it's like once you start, how do you stop?
So a little technique what I'd done in the beginning stages was I wouldn't really tend to buy the big bags of like snacks. I'd buy the smaller multi-pack bags. And if I wanted to have like a treat, then I'd put that and then hide the rest. And even though it's not hiding because I knew it was there, in my head it kind of convinced me that that's all I was having. And even with like sweets and chocolates, I'd kind of split them into little bags just because I think to go from one extreme of being a binge eater and just having everything consumed at once, something, putting it in bags may just be something that's overlooked to someone normally.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I needed, to just have, okay, that's all I can have today, and kind of that's all I want to have today, because if I was to have the rest and just binge, I know how bad I'd feel in myself, and I know that it's not worth it when I do have a goal.
It does make a difference. It doesn't seem like much sometimes, but just creating a little bit of friction by like, you know, right, this is the portion I'm going to have, and then the rest of that's going at like the back of the cupboard behind something. So there's got to be like, you can't just walk into the kitchen and grab them again, or you can see them. It's those few extra steps of effort that it kind of, it's almost putting extra barriers in the way of saying, no, I've intentionally done that. So I can just have this amount.
Yeah, and as well, like, if you were to meal prep and stuff like that, I'd notice that I'd suddenly get waves of hunger, and not even I was prepared for them waves of hunger. And if I wasn't prepared with, like, food already, meal prep food, then that's when I'd kind of start to binge and snack and eat whatever whilst making the food. Whereas if I was to meal prep, then it was already there in the fridge, so that's all what I needed to eat. And it didn't matter what I was eating, as long as I was feeling full afterwards, then I'd kind of be like, oh, okay, that's fine. So I think as well for certain cravings, if you have like little bits and little amounts, you'll be feeling like, oh, okay, I'm fine now.
Yeah. So did you meal prep as in like for the week, or like how did
just
you tackle it?
Yeah, just a few days. I'd start on the Sunday and then do like 3 days and then do it again.
Yeah. So. And would you like do every meal, or how did you plan out your week?
No, so it would be dependent on like my schedule and how much I was like studying and how much time I had. So it would kind of be the lunches, and then I'd have like leftover stuff as well that I'd just whip up for dinner. But then sometimes I'd make my dinner but make extra, so then I could just put it on a plate and then have it again the next day. But
I am such a fan of the leftover diet. That's literally, I live my life by leftovers. Because like, why would you need to cook twice when you could cook once?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
You just make more of the food and...
Yeah. That's literally what we do with HelloFresh.
Yeah.
Me and Steph get it for four people. There's only two of us.
Oh, so that's a good idea.
That's what we do at Gusto
as well. We make one dinner and it's like, well, that's either tonight's dinner and tomorrow's dinner, or tonight's dinner and tomorrow's lunch. Mm-hmm. So it's just saves the cooking time, doesn't it? I'm like that as well. I don't like to... I've done meal prep in the past where I've cooked on Sunday for like the whole week. Mm-hmm. And that's if like I've had like a relentless schedule. But now if I had a choice, I would never probably do it. I try and do it every couple of days if possible.
Yeah, and I often like fresh. Clients always say, oh, but if I get to like Thursday and I don't want whatever it is I made, what do I do? And I think that's the problem. If you meal prep for the whole week, you fix yourself in, and then you're like, well, I don't want that. So then you end up picking, and then you end up off plan, so to speak. So, yeah, I think it's wiser, like you said, just do a couple of days.
Yeah, just...
So I know we were getting to you had the 10-month goal, lost the 2 stone. So then what was that after? Because you went on to lose over 80 pounds. So what was the goals after that you set, and, like, how long did that next
time take? Don't really know the, like, exact time frame of each kind of goal, but it was just to kind of keep losing a stone more each time. And... like with each goal, I'd kind of have an intrinsic reward. So with the first like stone that I lost, I got these AirPods and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I've still got the same AirPods now and do like sometimes use them. One of them doesn't work, but so that was because I really wanted them AirPods. So I knew that, oh, if I have this goal in my head, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to try and get to this goal. And it doesn't kind of have to be pricey every time as well. It can just be something that you want, whether it's like a meal out or something just to keep you motivated, because I think that is a good idea. And then the next one after that was like a pair of trainers, and it was kind of just materialistic stuff. So I don't really know the like exact time frame. That's all kind of like a blur because it was just like...
We just like in the moment, just like, just focus on the next day, the next week, the next month, the next goal, and then just keep going. That is the better way, because if you look at an 87-pound weight loss goal and you're like, that's where I want to get to, that it's like starting at the bottom of a mountain and going, how the hell am I going to get to the top? It just feels overwhelming versus you go, hey, I'm just going to get to the first checkpoint, to the second checkpoint. And you just focus on that. So it's like, oh, I can see that first checkpoint. I can see that first goal. Okay, I'll just focus on the actions that I've got to take to get there first. And then you get there and you're like, oh, that's great. And I think those ways of setting yourself a goal, whether that's buying yourself some AirPods or a pair of trainers, is great as like a pat on the back. Some of our clients have not wanted to do it around like finances. Sometimes we've always tried to keep it away from food. But sometimes it can just be like, oh, I'm just going to have a day for me, like a pamper day. You know, like just something.
Getting nails done, yeah, something
just,
that you
just
want.
Something that like feels like, oh, that's like a, I mean, I know I'm probably like the most guilty of this in like just personal stuff and business is like not stopping and like congratulating myself for like hitting the goal. So I think it is important that you do stop, smell the roses, and then be like, hey, okay, like what's the next sort of goal? But no, that's great. So you just literally hit that goal in 10 months and then it just, you just kept going until you basically reached this next sort of milestone.
Yeah. And as well, I think in the first 10 months, I could have probably got to that goal faster, but I think COVID did have an impact on that because that kind of was a struggle for everyone. So it was when we were going through the COVID period. So I did gain some back and I was kind of like, oh no, am I like yo-yoing? Am I going back again, gaining all the weight that like I've lost in the initial stages?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important that people know as well, that it's not always linear. Mm-hmm. And if it is a big lifestyle change that you want to stick with forever, it's okay if sometimes it goes up and down because that's life, as long as you've got that end vision and you stick with it. So when the COVID kind of weight gain happened, how did you put the brakes on that and not let it rebound all the way back to where you were?
So I noticed in myself that like I was getting bigger, I was getting a bit more unfit, and I knew how badly I didn't want to be back in that position again. So that's what it was. And I was kind of like, okay, no, now you are needing to switch on. And that's when I got back into the like fitness and just done home workouts again and started running again.
You won a transformation like contest, didn't you?
Yeah.
When did that come about in all this?
So that was at the very start as well.
Okay.
So that was at the start and they had a prize for that, which was a trip away. So I was
very nice.
I know. So I was like, I'm going to win.
You are motivated by rewards. I'm getting that vibe.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a bit competitive.
Oh, I'm so competitive. So competitive. I think because I'm the youngest sibling as well. That's what has done it for my whole for my whole life. So
what happened?
So it was the best transformation, not just like a physical transformation, but kind of overall and like your wellness, your well-being, and yeah, I won that and then took my sister with me. And
where did you go?
Miami.
Nice.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. It was so nice. Yeah, and then after that I worked for the lady and then became a coach with her, like a fitness coach, and then
okay, so is that how you got into coaching other people as well?
Yeah, kind of stemmed from that. Well, now I'm opening up like one-to-one slots on my own because it was just original online workout plans, but now I'm going to do one-to-one coaching because I know I want to have a bit more of a connection with like clients and help them along their journey more. So exciting.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say were the best three things about having a coach then?
It is just having that appreciation of having someone there with that knowledge and just
accountability.
Yeah, having that accountability and having someone like telling you what to do. So all you need to do is do it.
Yeah.
So it's literally just the answers are there. You've just got to do it. It's not as hard as you think. You've just got to literally put in the work and you'll get your results if you do it.
Yeah, like, that's it. You're just accountable to yourself. Yeah. That is, I think it's like you're 95% more likely to take action if you're held accountable to a certain person or process. So it does, it makes a significant difference having that accountability to someone else.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then the great thing that happens off proxy of just like actually taking action is that then you then start to build the evidence to say like, oh, I can actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that starts to help you change your own belief around, oh, well, last time I didn't feel that great, but I still done a workout. Or that time I didn't feel like cooking food, but I did and I felt better for it. And then the more you keep doing that, it kind of just like rewires your brain and your beliefs to just think, oh, even if I don't want to do it, I can still do it and feel better off the back of it.
No, definitely.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but if you didn't already know, we help women over 30 lose 30 to 60 pounds in under 6 months. Without restrictive diets, countless hours exercising, or any guesswork. Now, we do that through our world-class one-on-one personalized coaching. And if you qualify, we actually guarantee that you'll see results. And yes, we are that good. Now, if you'd like to find out more, you can click the link in the show notes or go over to bodysmartfitness.com.
So with that in mind, do you still have a coach now or?
No.
Okay, so you feel like whatever goals you set now, you can just go after it yourself?
Yeah, so I've not had one for a while as well. So yeah, I feel like in my head, I've just built so much knowledge up because I only had one at the very start as well. So in my head, I feel like because I've gone through all that journey on my own and because I've gone through all of that, I know that kind of whatever is thrown at me, I've got it. Like, because I've done that on my own, I've done that. So, you know, now I can do it.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's such a bold, confident thing to say. Not many people can say that.
Yeah, I think it's just knowing that, like, I have done it because I've failed so many times and I've come from a place where I've been through all them failures and I've been through all of them feelings and them emotions. I was there for myself when I was at rock bottom and I've picked myself up again. So it's kind of like, you know, I am my hype woman and not me getting emotional again. Oh, Lord. But like years ago, I'd have never been my own hype woman. I'd have just been,
Yeah, no, I love it. No, it's great. It's great to even be able to talk that confidently too.
Yeah, because like I never had this confidence before, and
I knew it's something that you
still going.
Yeah.
You do talk about it on your page, and I think it's really, really important because when you were at the beginning of this journey, you never would have thought you'd sit here today and say it. So, to somebody who feels like that, what would you say?
Just work on self-love, just know that like you can do it as well, because I think a lot of the issue is the self-doubt, because for me it was the self-doubt. I had no willpower in my head. I convinced myself that I couldn't do it, so the chances of me doing it were very, very slim, because if I was telling myself that I couldn't do it, then I couldn't do it. Whereas now if someone was to tell me I couldn't do it, I'd be like, who are you to tell me I couldn't do it? Because yeah, I can do it. So if as long as you're telling yourself that you can do something, then who cares what anyone thinks? But yeah, it is crazy to just see the difference in my own self and my own like growth. And not that, because a lot of the times as well, like I'll have like comments from people being like, oh, you're so stuck up now, or like, oh, now that you've lost the weight, I hope you've not changed. And I'm just like, you don't know me. Yeah. You don't know that I've changed. You're watching like a couple of seconds video. And for me, I can confidently say that I am exactly the same girl and the like same personality that I was back then. But I'm just more confident. I've just grown as a person. I just know my worth and just know that like I have me. So yeah.
Oh, amazing. And is that confidence like spilled over into like other areas of your life? Like relationships, career, or just generally how you like you carry yourself?
Yeah, I definitely carry myself a lot more higher, and it has spilled out into like the career and everything like that. And I think even just everyday life, I'm gone from a girl who used to lock herself away, that wouldn't leave the house, that would cancel plans, that didn't want to leave because I didn't feel like I wanted to. I just hated myself, to now just taking myself out on solo dates. I'll go for lunch by myself, and like I would have never done that before. So yeah, I think it definitely does have an impact on everything.
How do you even start with that journey though? Because if somebody's where you were, feeling like I don't even want to leave the house, saying, oh, I just go out for a date with myself, sounds like a crazy idea.
I know.
So where did you start?
So I think it was the initial beginning from easing towards training in the gym, because I originally started doing home workouts because I wasn't confident enough. And as I was losing the weight, I'd start with doing a spin class at the gym, and it was a virtual spin class. And I only done it because I knew it would just be me and there would be another person on occasion. If not them, then it would just be me. So I didn't really kind of mind that other person being there, and that kind of helped a bit. And each time I'd go to that spinning class, I'd like walk around the gym and then just leave. And I'd just like assess where all the equipment was, where it was all positioned. And then there was one time after the spinning class where I thought, okay, I'm just going to do a quick workout in the gym. So I went up, I had my workout ready that I'd planned so that there could be no like walking around switching. I had backup workouts as well in case that equipment was free. I had my headphones on loud. I had like a cute gym outfit on that I felt confident in. And then I'd just done a workout in there and thought, you know what, this isn't too bad. And then the second time I went in as well, I thought, okay, I'm going to try and go on the like the squat rack. Bold. So I went on the squat rack, and then this girl came over and was like, oh, do you want me to spot you? And I was like, yes, please. So I was like really shy. And then I just thought from that comment, it's not as bad as I'm thinking. We all start somewhere. Everyone in this gym has started somewhere. So
I love that that was your first interaction as well, as someone just really being genuine and helpful. Because that's what most people are like. If they are making the effort to go to the gym for themselves, like you said, they get it. But also, they're probably trying to be a better person in more than one way. So most people in the gym are actually quite nice.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's really easy to feel intimidated because it's unusual, or like it's a different space to what you're used to if you're new. But when you realise they're just humans, like it's not that bad.
Exactly. And they've been in exactly the same position starting from day one.
So. Oh, high five to that girl.
So, and then I just thought as well, like, if anyone does say anything or judge me in any way or kind of feel any way about me being here, then that's an issue with them. That's not an issue with me because, you know, I'm just focusing on me. So
it is. It can still sting at that time, though, because it is like anyone who says anything hateful on me and even comments anything hateful on me, and it is more a reflection of where they're at and how they're feeling. And you can often, if you're able to, can take a step back and actually feel like a bit sorry and a bit pitiful for them at that time. But it can obviously knock people's confidence in a big way if something nasty is said. But I don't think that is most people's actually interactions in the gym. Like, most people are actually just either focused on them and doing them and aren't even looking at you. Or if people do see you maybe struggling a little bit, we'll often come over and offer a bit of advice or try and even help you out. And that can even feel scary in itself. But I think the steps that you talk with is just, I think anytime you feel confident, like in any situation, it's just like it's just familiar. And it's just familiarity a lot of the time. So that's why you feel confident, because you just know it like the back of your hand. So it's just like easing yourself into the gym and either doing some home workouts first. Like, oh, I feel confident in these movements. I can at least do the movements I do at home, but in the gym. And then it's like you said, you've done the class, and then you just ease yourself in more and more and more, and had a plan of like, oh, I can just keep doing a bit more. And then over time, it becomes familiar, and then you feel more confident in that situation. So, you know, it's just like a nice, slower pace till you get to where you need to be.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it should be as daunting as it seems, because it's like you say, it's not like that at all. And if you do have an interaction like that, then it's a very, very slim chance, or whatever. But
So I've seen you've posted before about the fact you wish you'd done more work on your self-love and your confidence before you lost weight. But then it sounds like a lot of your confidence has actually come from getting back in the gym and losing weight.
Yeah, so it is very contradictory, but I think I'd say a lot about that as well, because I don't want to give the idea where as soon as you get to your goal, you'll be 100% confident, because that's not the case. Because you can get to your goal and you can still kind of be feeling self-conscious, be feeling like nervous and shy and stuff like that. So I think it is definitely important to work on self-love before, because I went from crying in the mirror to like how I looked and kind of that I hated myself, that like all of these thoughts, to then telling myself five things I loved about myself every day in the mirror, which kind of started that self-love journey for me, because it's something that I needed to hear, having being like bullied in school and stuff like that. It was kind of like what I needed to hear to convince myself and my mind that I was worthy and good enough. So
do you still do affirmations now?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. What do you say?
I'll just tell myself like what I like about myself. Like, oh, I like my hair today. Like, oh, I like this today. Because I think it's very, very easy when you're getting told a compliment to be like, oh, no, like, oh, like, oh, thanks, no. Like,
yeah.
And, like, just back away. And one of my friends actually did pick me up on it and be like, no, I'm not complimenting you because, like, I want you to be like, no, no, I'm complimenting you because that's what I think and I'm telling you that, so say thank you. And I was like, you know what, that's actually true. Like, I needed to hear that because you don't compliment someone to be like, oh, no, I don't, no, I don't. Like, I'm complimenting you because that is my view and what I think, so I'm going to convince myself of that as well. So, yeah, now I will look in the mirror and be like, oh, my hair looks nice today. And instead of, like, being so fiddly and conscious and being like, oh, well, I could adjust this, I could adjust this. Like, no, I'm perfect as I am. Like, I've been made this way. Do you know? So,
yeah, I think that's a really great tip, though, because especially I feel like British people are worse for this. We're like, oh, this, no, I got this from Primark. No, it's no. Like, we don't take a compliment. But actually, when you consciously try to accept compliments, you actually hear them for what they are. Whereas when you're trying to think of a reason why you shouldn't have that compliment, you're just shutting it out. You're not actually hearing what other people really think of you. And then you're creating all these other versions of what you think people think of you, which is usually not very nice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, a lot is to do with social media and how we are not necessarily portrayed, but a lot of like comparison on social media. So say, for example, obviously it's fine if someone has like bigger boobs and stuff like that, whereas I don't, but I could compare myself to someone with bigger boobs and be like, well, why don't I have that? Well, why don't I like look like that? Or should I get my boobs done or all of this? But like, they could also be comparing themselves to me with smaller boobs and be like, oh, I wish I had smaller boobs. Oh, I wish like I looked like that. Like, you don't know someone else's thought process, whereas you could be idolizing someone else for looking a certain way, but they also could be doing it back. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually, because you are effectively an influencer now. So, like, how do you deal with that pressure of, A, everyone looking at you and creating their own ideas of who you are, and B, like, being in that sphere where it is all about how you look?
I think I'm very... I think I'm very kind of... in this sense that I've grown up being very, like, humble as well, especially, like... So my mum is very, like, natural and my siblings are very natural. So it's kind of like we take life as it comes. So whatever kind of we have given to us, we'll be very grateful for and very gratitudinal for. So, like, looking a certain way, looking like I do now and, like, having these imperfections, like I've got a chip in my teeth there because I smacked it on a pint glass.
Ah, great job. I love that.
Like... there are times when I've thought about composite bonding and stuff like that, but if I was to get it, it'd be because I want it, not because social media told me I've not. But this is also what makes me unique. Like, this is also a feature where what I have that someone else may not have. Like, the same as well of... there are also times when I've, like, obviously compared, like I say again, like, not having boobs to someone else, but I've been made that way. I am who I am, like... that's me, that's normal. And I think as well, it is very, very hard not to compare yourself on social media. I think I can sit here and lie and be like, oh, no, I don't compare myself, I don't do this. But I think it's natural that you do because of a lot of what you see online. But just know that my beauty isn't taken away from someone else's beauty and vice versa. Because they're also beautiful, I'm also beautiful as well. And it's not like a comparison game that they're more beautiful because they have certain things or look a certain way. I'm also beautiful because I look a certain way. And, like, do you know, I think it's kind of changing the narrative of not so much being, like, hateful towards that person or wanting to look like that person and be like that person because they have certain things or look a certain way or have perfect teeth or a perfect smile because... I also do, like,
So I think it's changing. A really difficult place to get to, though, from being in a place of low confidence where you were before. So were there any moments where you felt a shift, where you actually believed, though, like, I am beautiful too?
I think just being, like, content in where I was and just there were a lot of times as well when I like reflect. So I'll kind of sit back and be like, okay, this week this has happened, this week this has happened. So in my journey, yeah, I have sat back and reflected and been like, you know what? I've got to my goal. I should be a lot more kind of prouder than I am. Like, why am I not so proud of myself that I should be? So I kind of adjusted that. And then, yeah, just making these tweaks. And especially when looking in the mirror and like telling myself these kind of phrases and these affirmations, looking in the mirror and instead of picking apart myself, I noticed that I wasn't. And I'd be like, okay, that is a difference from where I was. I couldn't tell you when I first started the affirmations and like when I first started telling myself five things that like I loved about myself, I couldn't tell one thing.
Yeah.
Mm. I was just looking at negatives, being like, oh my gosh.
What was that prior? So like, I mean, like, cause I know that typically we'll speak to so many of our clients, so just people in general. And it's like, you can get up, you jump on the scales, you see a number you don't want. So you're already in this like negative mindset. Mm-hmm. Then you go and look at yourself in the mirror and you're just picking yourself apart. Everything. Like, so it's like, what a bad way to start your day in that sort of sense. And it's just like negativity after negativity. Mm-hmm. And that's how you know, these are some of the first thoughts that you're thinking at the start of the day. And that's how you start in your day. It's just mm-hmm. like, that's not going to compound into a really happy, joyful day, is it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, how did you go from, if it, like, was that the case for yourself? Were mm-hmm. you looking in the mirror and picking yourself apart and saying, you know, not great things?
Yeah, so it was literally just everything I'd be telling myself that I hated. Like, oh, I hate my thighs, I hate this, I hate this, I hate my hair, even though it's like exactly the same as it is my hair. So yeah, I'd literally just be reeling off lists of in my head of what I hated about myself to then, that's why as well I thought I'm gonna do the five things that I do like about myself to just change my mindset, because I'm being negative about myself. I'm being negative about like a little girl that once was. Like, I shouldn't be so negative about myself. Like, for what reason? What have I done to deserve all that negativity? I've not done anything. So that's why I did start the five things that I did love about myself. And yeah, it was very, very hard to start them five things. But, and it would literally be just like things that weren't even about me originally. It'd be like, oh, I like my trainers today. Oh, I like my this today. But then it changed into, oh, I like my smile today. Oh, I like my hair today. And like things that were actually about me. And I think it gets easier the more you learn to self-accept and just accept you are you and you're made that way to be unique and for a reason. Whereas, yeah, I wasn't in that self-acceptance stage before. And I think as well, that's why I am very on social media kind of like, oh, I will post my stretch marks. Oh, I will post my cellulite, because that is me. And if you're not going to accept me as me, then that's an issue with you again. Yeah. Like,
I think it's so helpful for other people because they are comparing themselves to social media and they're not accepting themselves because they don't see real life on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So by you sharing the whole experience of your real life, it's so much more beneficial because people then don't think, why have I got cellulite? No one else does. Like, oh, Lise does. Okay, well, that's all right. I can have it too then.
Yeah.
So it's really powerful.
I think it definitely helped as well because in university, I'd done my dissertation on, it was called How Do Adolescent Girls Perform Body Work? And it was so eye-opening. Like, I'd do study groups and, like, conversations with young girls that were, like, 14, 15, and they'd be telling me all of this stuff that they have to edit their pictures, that they have to do all of this stuff, that this one lady has to wear a full face of makeup to go to the gym. And that's fair enough if you do want to wear makeup, but she felt as though she had to. And it was so sad to kind of see that that is the generation we are bringing up, to feel that way. They shouldn't feel like that at that age, that they have to do that, that they have to edit their pictures, that they have to look a certain way because of social media nowadays. But it kind of was reflective that we're the ones that are doing that, and kind of we have also gone through that as well, like the magazines, like growing up with magazines having super super kind of slim ladies on and not showing like the plus size ladies. But yeah, we are to blame for that in a sense, as bad as that is. But yeah, I just want to show that it is normal to have the cellulite, because yeah, I do Yeah. And, like, other ladies do.
Lot of women do. I mean, I don't know what the exact percentages are on it, but it's very common. Very, very common in most women, isn't it? But, like, that is, if you look through that lens of social media, like, how many women do you see posting photos who have got cellulite on versus don't? It's, like,
1%. Yeah, I was going to say, like, a handful.
Yeah, like, it's not many at all, which is, for the vast majority of women, they have probably got cellulite or stretch marks. Yeah, when you look at social media, you never see, you know, cellulite or stretch marks.
I think, honestly, they should be, like, illegal, the apps that are... Because it's crazy, like... And some of the times you don't even notice that they are edited and you're just like, that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Very, or you just have to have, like, a little watermark on it saying, like, edited by this app.
Yeah, then they'd stop.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So if someone's listening that hasn't got to that place of self-acceptance, because honestly, we have clients in their 60s, don't we, that, like, feel how you did at the beginning of your journey, what would your three tips be to somebody who's just starting that?
I think know that you are enough where you are now and where you want to go. Just if you're working on your fitness journey, make sure you're doing it for you, because a lot of the times we tend to, like, think, oh, I'll do it for another person or to look good for another person, which is where you can kind of go off on a tangent of that self-love, because no, you should be doing it for you and only you. So knowing that you are enough as a whole, because you're unique, you're special, you're beautiful, you're perfect. Like, I can list off everything about, like, an individual. So I think they should see that, because it is hard. Because
it is hard, isn't it? Because if you're in this place of, like, self-loathing and negative comments in the mirror and grabbing roles and just destroying yourself in the mirror in terms of how you feel and getting upset and crying about it, like, as much as, like, you might want to feel those things, it's really difficult in that moment, because you really don't. Which it's tough, isn't it? Like I get it. Like, and I agree with what you're saying, but it's just hard in those times and in those moments to feel like you are worthy to an extent.
But then it's also the case of, if you know that you would be happier losing weight, then that is something that you should do. Because there are people that know that they want to lose weight and know that their lives would be changed if they lost weight and stuff like that. So, okay, like, that's fine too.
I think that's really important because there's, like, this whole conversation around body positivity. It's almost like you're a bad person if you tell someone losing weight's going to make them feel better. But if they feel like it will make them feel better, that's not me telling them. That's their decision. And I think there's a real fine line at the moment where it's almost like you're fat shaming if you encourage somebody to change their body.
Yeah, so I think an individual will know in themselves if losing weight will make them happier. Because for me, that was the case as well. And although I'm saying, like, yeah, I should have worked on self-love since the very start, like, that's fair enough, but I knew I shifted and I knew that wasn't me. I wasn't that person when I was bigger, because I didn't recognise that girl, and I knew that as soon as, like, I did lose the weight, I would be happier and I would feel like me again. So I think it's only an individual that can say, oh, we'll feel like me again if I get to, like, a certain goal. So yeah, I think it is a very thin line.
Like, the case of your example is, by taking those healthy actions and following the path that you knew would make you happy, that in itself is self-love, because you were actually taking care of yourself and living true to your values, whereas previous you hadn't been living true to that. So I think it's really important people will understand, like, what would taking care of myself look like and feel like? And when you start doing that, you are then giving yourself self-love. And then you feel like, oh, okay, well, I am worthy of self-love. Because it doesn't mean saying affirmations in the mirror, maybe, to some people. Maybe it just means, like, respecting my body enough to go to bed on time. And then that, like, self-perpetuates of, you feel better because you took a bit of care of yourself. So you take a bit more care of yourself, so you feel better. And it just spirals in a good way.
Well, yeah, it's a positive feedback loop, isn't it? You know what I mean? And that's I think that is the... the great thing of all the things that we've been speaking about today is like drinking more water, exercise, and eating better food. You get a positive feedback loop because you actually do feel better when you eat a certain way, drink more water, exercise, and can really encourage you to keep taking more actions.
Yeah, and yeah. I think as well, going back to like the fat shaming comment, I think it is a very thin line of someone does need to like lose the fat. It's not because we're doing it out of like spite or like to like be like, you need to lose weight. It's because it can become very like dangerous as well. Like these whole foods, these organic foods are there for, have been there for time because they're like healthier and just better for your body. Whereas meat and the junk food and eating all of that food, that wasn't good for me. That was very dangerous. Like I also had the click where I went to the doctors because I got nosebleeds over and over again. Like there'd be times when I'd get nosebleeds for an hour a day. I have pictures on my phone, but I can't show them because they're so like, and I'd have be having to go to like the hospital. I'd be having to constantly get like my nose cauterized, but it was because my blood pressure was so high.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then the doctor was like, yeah, you're borderline diabetic. And I was like, okay. So I think as well, yeah. So it takes being told by someone else that stuff.
But what's really interesting, dangerous. Though, is you, earlier when we said, like, what was the moment? It wasn't the doctor saying.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking, like, more what it actually was that convinced me. Because you can also be told by someone so many times this stuff, but until you're ready to accept it and until you're ready to click, because that, wasn't really what kind of convinced me.
Yeah.
It was more,
what that's so interesting, isn't it? Because often people think, oh, well, you know, until a doctor tells me I'm fine. But a doctor did tell you. But I think that's really common.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you don't want to hear it. So you're just like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, it is literally being told, no, like, I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Like, you can tell me that, but I'm going to do it when I'm ready. So I think you'll know when you're ready to start. There's only so much telling someone that you can do, and there's only so much like guidance you can give someone. But until someone is ready to do it on their own or ready to accept help or ready to actually implement the stuff, they won't do it.
I agree. So. We've had therapists and lots of experts on this podcast, and we've always asked them, like, how do you get someone to just really just get to that point where it's like, right, you're not at rock bottom and you're ready to change? And it's... You often can't. You've got the person's actually got to be at that point where like they are ready to take that step. They've hit that like enough is enough. And for some people, it might be saying the doctor saying you've got high blood pressure, you need to change, or you're going to get diabetes. But for other people, it could be like that's the last extra pair of jeans I'm buying, and I refuse to buy a bigger size, and this is going to make me change, or whatever else it could be. It can be individual to you. Some people are motivated by kids or parents getting ill or whatever it is. But I think it is important to find that driver in the beginning. And also sometimes I think it's actually quite negative, the initial driver. Like you're actually driven probably from fear to take those first steps. But then over time you can actually start to make it more of a like a happier intrinsic why, maybe, if is a better way of like, you know, initially I just didn't want to have to buy a bigger pair of jeans and that's why I'm exercising and taking steps. But then after like a couple of months, you're like, actually I feel really good and I just want to keep feeling this way.
At the moment then, what are your focuses or your goals? Because you are strong, you look amazing. Like,
thank you.
What happens when you get to a big goal like you've reached?
I think the goal is always changing as well, where I'd be going through a phase where like, oh, I want my legs to be even bigger, or oh, I want my upper body to be bigger. So I think for me, the goal is constantly changing because I'm always like, oh, do I do this? But now it is just... to keep up my fitness as well, where I do just want to be in the position where I am testing my fitness every day and just knowing that movement is good for my body. Whereas before I'd see it as a punishment and a chore and I'd hate exercising and I'd just be like, well, you know, this, I hate this. Whereas now I'm like, I get to exercise. I am moving my body and I like going to the gym and I like having that time. So yeah, I think it is just getting that movement in and probably building my legs tomorrow, it'll be.
I love that though, because you spent so long trying to get smaller and now you're like, I want to get bigger legs, I want a bigger upper body. And it's such a different mindset.
yeah, it is coming again from like this self-acceptance where I don't need to be a tiny, because also that isn't my physique. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to get to a tiny physique, because one, I do still love food very, very much. And like, two, that isn't my genetics.
I saw a quote the other day, which was, is it actually your dream body if it's a nightmare to maintain?
Wow. Yeah.
So what you just said there kind of resonates with that. It's like you find your happy medium where mm-hmm. I feel good. I still get to enjoy my life in the way that I want, mm-hmm. but I'm not chasing after some image that isn't actually feasible for me.
That definitely puts it into perspective for me, because whenever I like go for a meal with family or I'll eat with family, they'll be like, oh, can you eat that?
Or yeah, like, mine say that too.
Like, yeah, like, oh, are you allowed that cake? Or, oh, are you not eating healthily? And I'm like, yeah, I can have it. Like, I am eating healthily as well, but I can have it. So that does actually put it into perspective, because I think a lot of people don't realise that, yeah, you can.
It's the misconception, isn't it? That like you've got to, if you're going to live a healthy lifestyle, you can only eat like super strict and super clean, and you can't eat out and enjoy food. And that isn't the case. I think like we say all the time, like we love our food, and you can actually eat more, you know what I mean? Like not like maybe, but maybe not, you can't be like fully gluttonous all the time. You know what I mean? But you have to manage it to an extent, but like you don't not eat. You know what I mean? Not just eating like rabbit food 7 days a week. You can really like enjoy your diet, and you actually, I feel like you enjoy your diet more because it makes you feel good. And when you do have those maybe more foods that you wouldn't have on a regular basis, you enjoy them more too, because you're not having them all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And also I feel like you're more picky about which foods you actually do enjoy or which foods you're just like, and then it's only the ones that you really love that you say yes to. Well, I know that is for me. And then you're like, yeah, I'm having it.
Yeah, I'm having it. Yeah, true. Probably every food I'll be like, yeah, I'm having it. But that is so true as well, because my mum will be like answering to when the family asks, she's like, yeah, do you not see how she trains? It's like, she can eat that. Because obviously, like, the training comes into it.
If you didn't already know, we help women over 30 lose 30 to 60 pounds in under 6 months without restrictive diets, countless hours exercising, or any guesswork. Now, we do that through our world-class one-on-one personalized coaching. And if you qualify, we actually guarantee that you'll see results. Yes, we are that good. Now, if you'd like to find out more, you can click the link in the show notes below or go over to bodysmartfitness.com.
So what does your training look like now?
So I do love the Stairmaster.
Yeah.
I'm a bit obsessed with it. I think because I couldn't do it before. I couldn't do like 1 minute on the Stairmaster before, whereas now I can do an hour and I'll just be like going along.
What do you like, watch Netflix or something? Music. How did you do that for an hour?
Music. Yeah, I listen to SoundCloud. So I'm like,
love it.
Hats off to you.
And then I'll do like legs, upper body. I'll kind of split the days as well. So sometimes I'll do quad focused and then glute focused if my goal is literally to build more of legs. And then my upper body tends to just be whole upper body, not kind of split into like back and thighs or stuff. And then, yeah, I do love cardio as well, because I feel like it just makes me happy. And
yeah, it does make you feel great. Yeah. Like I used to do, I haven't been going to the gym as much, as I could work out at home, but I used to love doing 45 minutes on the Stairmaster, which is a weird thing to say, because you know so many people hate it.
Yeah,
I'm not as hardcore as you. I would put like a YouTube video on for 45 minutes and
maybe I should try it then.
Yeah, well, it was just
it was quite
distracting. But like I'd do like an hour on like level 8 or level 10 or 45 minutes, sorry. But when you come off, like you're soaked through, and I feel like the high you get off cardio is very different than weights.
You
actually feel like a little, like that runner's high. You feel a bit high off the back of it, and I feel like your mind feels so clear as well, and it is a great feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And like running as well, I do enjoy running.
Because you've run a marathon, haven't you?
Yeah. In my head, I was like, wow. Because that's a long
it's long.
Yeah.
After like I got to my like goal weight loss, I thought, okay, I'm gonna do a marathon because I enjoy running. I just wanna see if I can do it. Obviously if you train for it you can do it, but in my head, it was kind of a personal achievement that I did want to do, to know that I can do something like that. And when I was doing the marathon as well, I didn't really care on the time. I just set myself a goal that I wanted to run the whole time. Mm-hmm. And even if it was literally like a slow run, I just carried on running the whole time. And I'd done that, so.
I love it. I just thought, maybe I'll do it. You did.
Well, I didn't actually think I'd also get in as well. And then I got in and I was like, did you do the
London Marathon, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, amazing. Yeah, that's one of them, isn't it? I think a lot of people apply for that and it's like, oh, maybe it won't get in. When you actually get in, it's like, oh, shit, like, I've actually got it. I've got to do it now. Did you get any joint pain when you had the extra sort of 87 pounds? I know that's something we hear a lot, is that you don't actually realise how maybe just harder it is to walk upstairs or to cut your toenails or just like pick up certain things or do certain things. Like when you're carrying, like I kind of think like, God, if I wear a weighted vest sometimes and do a 20 minute walk or go for a walk and I'm like, I come back and my shoulders are hurting. And it's like, I'm like flipping heck. Some people are walking around with double or triple this weight all the time. So like, did you get like joint pain or have any other, anything else that flared up?
Yes. So my knee pain was really bad. My back pain was bad. And it does put it into perspective, because you think like, I'm in so much pain, but I'm choosing to kind of carry this pain. But you don't really click, you kind of adapt to accept the pain and kind of just think, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to learn to deal with the pain. But yeah, my knees were probably the worst, because like you say, it's just carrying all this weight on you. But yeah, like putting it into perspective again, I always thought about, do you know like the sandbags?
Oh, yeah.
The 10 kg sandbags. Like how heavy they are.
Yeah. Mm.
So even if you may think you've not lost that much weight, say if you've got like a 10 kg sandbag and you weigh X amount, like 80 kg, if you want to lose, say, 20 kg, for example, and you're carrying these sandbags, imagine twice of them sandbags just coming on. So you've lost 10 kg. That's one of them sandbags. That's so heavy. So exactly like you say.
That's a great way to put it in perspective when people have lost the weight and they're not celebrating their progress as well, because it just becomes a number, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really mean anything once you get past a certain point. You're like, oh, I lost 10 kilos. But if you were to go and pick that up in the gym, you'd be like, holy shit, I've lost 10 kilos.
Yeah,
that's a really great analogy.
Yeah, so everybody pick up the 10 kg sandbag.
Which is 22 pounds. So if anybody's listening that works in pounds. So one thing we like to ask all of our podcast guests is, if there's anything that you heard or tried during your fitness journey, what would be one thing that you want to cut the BS on?
Oh, I don't know if I can say it.
Yes, you can.
I'd say, I can't say it. For me, this is personal to me, not everybody else. It could work for others, but Slimming World.
Oh, yeah, you can say that.
I'm not a fan. I tried it. I know it works for some people, but I tried it and I'm not a fan of the avocado being 7 sins, whereas a curly whirl is 6 sins. Like you can have 2 chocolate bars a day, but you can't have banana that's fried or baked. Like they say that you can't have baked banana because the sugars come out, but you can have loads of normal bananas. Like some of the
Just like ridiculous rules. Also call them food sins. It's literally not healthy for anyone's relationship with food, is it?
I think it definitely is a very toxic way of having foods, like you say, because as soon as you go off of that Slimming World and that plan and eat normally, you're gonna pile the weight back on again, because your body is just used to having them sins and nonsense and healthy extra A, healthy extra B, and all of this stuff. And
it's so much complication that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah,
and I tried it for loads of times as well. Like I constantly tried it, but I just couldn't get on with it. And again, that's not saying that it may not work if you're just starting your fitness journey or just want something to follow or guidance, but I would say there are healthier ways.
Yeah.
I just don't want to offend anyone if they are.
Oh, no, I don't think it's offensive. I made
a whole YouTube video on this. Oh,
But it's more so just helping people see the other way. Like, I feel like if you're going to spend the time to learn, like, a point system at Weight Watchers or a point system at Slimming World, like, you may as well just learn calories and mm-hmm. macros and understand like the basics of nutrition, because that's universal and you'll work that everywhere. I know a lot of people will use Slimming World and see success or will use other, you know, sort of methods out there. But again, like, they're just adhering to the actual nutritional principles that we, that everyone knows that are universal. And if you learn them, it's such a healthier way to go about understanding nutrition as a whole, and also just being more universal. So when you do finish a plan or want to come away from a certain plan, you don't have to be like married to Slimming World or Weight Watchers or something else.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. That is a nicer way, yeah.
So at the moment then, you're working on getting stronger. Have you got any other challenges coming up, like your marathon or anything like that planned?
Not as of yet. I really want to do a triathlon though.
Ooh.
But I've not thought anything into it. That's just something I want to do.
Yeah.
But
well, you know you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it so far.
And then work-wise, you're launching your one-on-one coaching?
Very soon. It'll be in the next few weeks.
Oh, wow.
That's
really
soon? Slots will open up, yes.
Exciting.
So, I know. Very exciting.
And is it going to be just you or is there a team?
Just me initially.
Okay.
Yeah, and then hopefully a team if it goes well. But I do like to be very involved.
Personable.
So.
Yeah.
So where can people go and check it out if they want to find out more?
So more information will be on my Instagram.
So what's the Instagram they should search for?
It'll be Elise Rose Stanier. So my full name. And then, yeah.
And you're on TikTok as well, right?
Yeah, TikTok is the same. So Elise Rose Stanier as well. And then I've also got YouTube, which is Elise Rose Stanier.
Oh, nice and simple. Yeah.
It's good because you've got an unusual name. Like, no one else has stolen it before you got there.
Oh, yeah, true. What's going to do? Elise Rose Stanier 1.
So we'll put that in the show notes as well, so if people want to click through, cool. They'll be able to get the link there.
Thanks so much
for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a real pleasure.
Yes, thank you. It's been so good to be here.